Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 14. Mark's Gospel chapter 14. I want you to look with me at verses 3 through verse 9. It is referring to Christ in verse 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Would you bow with me for prayer? Lord, we thank you for your word, and what a blessed song about the word of God. We heard twice tonight. Lord, may it be sung and sung and sung. And Lord, may it be true. And I pray tonight that you might take your word and use it in our hearts. We've been challenged, but Lord, may we be challenged further. May this thing of world evangelization become personal to each one of us in a real fresh way. Lord, so to speak, would you pour fresh oil on our hearts in the matter of giving. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to give you another verse. Down in verse 6, Jesus said, she hath wrought a good work on me. What is a good work? In Philippians 1:6, that verse has been used a number of times by the missionaries and myself. Paul is writing to his one supporting church in Macedonia, which is Europe, the Church of Philippi. And he says this, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, that's a missionary-minded church supporting one missionary and one missionary writing back and really teaching them, encouraging them about the joy of giving. That passage has joy written all over it. And so what is a good work? Jesus said, leave her alone. She hath wrought a good work on me. May I say to you that a good work is a missions-minded, giving person like Mary who broke her alabaster box, and Jesus directly received the benefit of that. And a mission-minded church like this one, that is a good work. This, Pastor, is a good work, as you well know. Great Hope Baptist Church and other churches are good works. There are good people doing good works every time they give through this church. That is a good work. There are some folks who are like Mary, and they're willing to break the alabaster box. I want to give you tonight seven characteristics of a good work. Number one, a good work will always cost. It will always cost. John Henry Jowett said, the ministry that costs nothing will accomplish nothing. And down in verse 5, the price of that ointment was very expensive. It was 300 pence or 300 days' wages. That's a lot of money. It's almost a year by our calendar. A good work will always cost. Let me give you the principle. The principle that you can understand is found in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24. Don't turn there. Let me tell you, David had numbered the people. God gave him some options about how he's going to be punished for a number of people. Wasn't trusting God. He wouldn't know how many people he had. And he took the option to be in the hands of God. And Gad went to him and said, you need to make an offering at the threshing floor at Araunah. And so he goes to Araunah and he says, I want to buy your threshing floor. And Araunah says, in verse 21, Araunah said, wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Araunah said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, there here be oxen for burnt sacrifice and threshing instruments and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Araunah as a king give unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. And here's what David said. And the king said unto Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Here's the principle. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. Everybody wants a free ride today. Hey, I clip those coupons. I love to go to Kohl's with Kohl's cash. I'm not silly. I mean, I love that stuff. And if they're going to do it and offer it, I'm going to take the advantage of it. But you know what? When it comes to this thing of world evangelization, I expect it to cost me something. Look, I married Hope Elaine Lancaster years ago, about 40 years, and I stood at the altar and I said, I do. At that moment, I made a commitment to her. I told her, I said, honey, you're never going to have to cook on Sundays. I wish I'd never said that. Because she told my son, and when he was a little boy, we'd be riding out of the church parking lot, and my wife would say, well, remember what you told me? And my son said, would lean up and say, Dad, you remember what you told Mama when you married her? That has cost me a great deal. And I knew when I said I do to Hopi Ling Lancaster and she became a Godfrey, I knew it was going to cost me something. I didn't know how much. But I thought I was willing to pay. A good work will always cost you something. And you know, here's the interesting thing. Do you know, in essence, Jesus wasn't going to die that day. That ointment was going to dry up. All the perfume in it or whatever was going to be gone. The effect of it was going to be dissipated before he ever went to the grave. Do you understand? The reason she did it was to make a statement. Would you take the most precious thing you have to make a statement? The disciples didn't believe Jesus was going to die. Mary got saved at the feet of Jesus. She served at the feet of Jesus. And she stayed at the feet of Jesus. She believed it when he said, I'm going to die. And she wanted to make a statement with the greatest thing she had. Now this morning you made a promise, or tonight you made a promise, and you made a statement also. You said, this is important. Somebody got saved somewhere in the world this morning because you gave your faith promise. But whether they did or not, you made a statement. And you proved the sincerity of love. A good work will always cost. Number two, a good work will always be criticized. Look at verse 4. Verse 4, and there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? Over in Matthew, here's what it says. Verse 8, Matthew 26, 8. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying to, what purpose is this waste? Do you understand what Jesus called a good work they called waste? Do you understand people will not understand why you would send money overseas? Do you understand that they would think, man, you need a bigger steeple on your building. You know, you need better tires on your buses. You got pretty carpet. Let's just say it was wore out. We need more carpet. I mean, there's a whole lot of things you could spend that money for. We have an outside audit every year, and we had this, and of course, a lost auditor doesn't understand why we're giving money away. He says, you know, you people, if you didn't give so much money away, you could take care of the deficit in that school. He just doesn't get it. He just doesn't get it. And we're not in the profit business. We're in the people business, and we're going to educate the next generation. Raise up a generation, an army, to do something that will make a difference for eternity Not for 70 years and then just have an epitaph on a stone that says, and they probably lied about it anyway. Hey, by the way, don't listen, make sure you live so the preacher won't have to lie when you die. I've heard more preachers lie at funerals. It will always be criticized. Jesus called it a good work. What purpose is this waste, they said. It's amazing how people get upset over how you spend your money. I had a man in my first church. His name was Tom Renfro. And Tom was a big old guy. He actually one time told me that when he was lost, he wrestled one of these skinny apes. And he finally was going to make $5. He ended up getting a fight with a guy because the thing almost beat him to death. And he said, I kicked it and got on top of it. And the guy stopped me, and then he wouldn't give me the $5, and I got a fight with him. This is the kind of people I pastored. That was my first church. And Tom made a promise in our first conference on the Eastern Shore of Virginia at the Baptist Bible Church. My first church, Greenhorn pastor. And I preached faith promise. And he stood up on a Sunday night about 2 weeks later. He said, you know, pastor, he said, I didn't even understand this stuff that you were preaching. He said, but I did it. He said, you know, and I got a raise. I said, really? Years later, he got a hold of this thing. It took him about 3 years. He went over to Tidewater. He was from Tidewater. And he went over to Portsmouth. And he said, I was with my dad who's lost and my mom. And he said, they have 7 kids, okay? 7 children. It takes a whole lot of milk to feed 7 children. And he started trying to tell his father what he was doing in missions. Big mistake. You don't tell grandparents who don't understand that you're giving money away that you ought to be using on the babies. You understand? And the father got so upset at him, he just said, yeah, but you got all these kids. Why are you giving? You're already tithing. He wasn't even for that. And he was going on, and Tom said, but you don't understand, Dad. He said, God is meeting our need. He said, look, this is great. And he said, I don't care. He said, you know, and finally, he said, but God's been meeting my need. And he's walking out the door, and his dad said, well, here's a $100 bill. He said, Dad, you just proved my point. A good work will always be criticized. Don't go tell your lost relatives what you're giving. Go tell them what Jesus did for them first, because they're not going to understand why you're giving your money away. They don't understand that. A good work will always cost. Number two, a good work will always be criticized. Number three, a good work is defended by Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I need him on my side. Amen. Look at verse 6. Jesus said, let her alone. I love that. As someone starts talking about me, or giving me a hard time behind my back, I want somebody to say, hey, leave him alone. I want Jesus to say, hey, leave him alone. Let her alone. She hath wrought a good work on me. Jesus took up for Mary. You know what I believe, Pastor? I believe Jesus takes up for this church. I believe Jesus takes up for a church that's got their heart in the right place, and it's beating in sync with him about world evangelization. I believe God takes up for the church where their young people are living right and getting called to the mission field, and they're giving their life for something that'll outlast it, and not just making a living. Not just making a living. You take care of God's business, and he'll take care of your reputation. He'll defend you. The promise in the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20 was, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So number one, a good work will always cost. A good work will always be criticized. A good work will always be defended. But number four, a good work is done for Jesus Christ. He said, she hath wrought a good work on me. Now, folks, there's a good reason why you ought to do this. I don't give my faith promise for Great Hope Baptist Church. I think the church benefits from it. I don't give it because of my wife. I don't give it because somebody expects it. I give it to Jesus Christ. That's why I give it. I give it because He loved the church and gave Himself for it. He loved the world. We love Him not because we just happen to have this inspiration. We love Him because He first loved us. First love is powerful. Listen, your giving should be willing and it should be an act of worship. I went into great detail one night about 1 Chronicles 29 when David raised the funds for the temple. If you'll read that whole chapter, I suggest if you want to go to a real worship service, read David's prayer after they gave. They rejoiced because they gave willingly with a perfect heart. Folks, that's worship. Do you understand the Old Testament does not know anything about giving without worship without giving? Every time they worshiped, they gave something. They gave something. And so it's interesting to me. You need to understand that this thing, a good work, is done for Jesus Christ. But number five, this is so practical. You say, preacher, but you know, I can't do much. What can you do? Some people, they look at one end of it. They say, you know, what can I do? And they're saying, I can't do anything. Jesus said, leave her alone. She hath wrought a good work on me. She hath done what she could. She didn't have two containers of alabaster ointment. She had one. It was worth almost a year's wages. It was very precious, means it was valuable. And she broke it and just poured it out on Jesus, symbolically anointing His body before He ever died to make a statement that He was going to die. You know, don't minimize what you give. I told you I started with a $2 promise when I was 21 years old. That was back in 1971, I think. I had no idea where I was headed. But it was so important that I did that. If I had just minimized that and said, look, this church, they don't need my money. Remember who you're giving it to. A good work is wrought. A good work is always done for Jesus Christ. Your motive means everything. It means everything. Why? I wouldn't just give money to an organization. I love the church. I love the church I pastor. I love churches like this. Church didn't die for me. Thank God for the ministry of the church. But they brought a message of a person who gave me a relationship that changed my life. And I love the church because Jesus loved it and gave Himself for it. And if He loves something, I'm going to love it. If He hates something, I'm going to hate it. That's called fellowship. And so, a good work is doing what you can. Let me read you a little story. You know, I'm going to reference this ministry. I would not recommend this ministry today, but you know, the devil never started anything. He always takes over things. And you're going to be very familiar with this particular church and then its college and probably its football team today, but they're probably known more for their football team than they are for Christianity. It's a true story of 57 cents. Don't minimize what you can do. Do what you can. It says this, a sobbing little girl stood near a small church from which she had been turned away because it was too crowded. I can't go to Sunday school, she sobbed to the pastor as he walked by. Seeing her shabby, unkempt appearance, the pastor guessed the reason and taking her by the hand, took her inside and found a place for her in the Sunday school class. The child was so touched that she went to bed that night thinking of the children who had no place to worship Jesus. Some 2 years later, this child lay dead in one of the poor tenement buildings, and the parents called for the kind-hearted pastor who had befriended their daughter to handle the final arrangements. As her poor little body was being moved, a worn and crumpled purse was found which seemed to have been rummaged from some trash dump. Inside was found 57 cents and a note scribbled in childish handwriting which read, "This is to help build the little church bigger so more children can go to Sunday school." For 2 years, she had saved for this offering of love. When the pastor tearfully read that note, he knew instantly what he would do. Carrying this note in the cracked red pocketbook to the pulpit, he told the story of her unselfish love and devotion. He challenged his deacons to get busy and raise enough money for the larger building. But the story does not end there. A newspaper learned of the story and published it. It was read by a realtor who offered them a parcel of land worth many thousands of dollars. When told that the church could not pay so much, he offered it for 57 cents. Church members made large subscriptions. Checks came from far and wide. Within 5 years, the little girl's gift had increased to $250,000, a huge sum for that time at the turn of the century. Her unselfish love had paid large dividends. When you are in the city of Philadelphia, look up Temple Baptist Church, which has a seating capacity of 3,300, and Temple University, where hundreds of students are trained. Have a look, too, at the Good Samaritan Hospital and at a Sunday school building which houses hundreds of students, so that no child in the area will ever need to be left outside during Sunday school. In one of the rooms of this building may be seen the picture of the sweet face of the little girl whose 57 cents, so sacrificially saved, made such a remarkable history. Alongside of it is a portrait of her pastor, Dr. Russell H. Conwell. Conwell was the author of Acres of Diamond, as well as a longtime pastor of the Baptist Temple and founder of the first president of Temple University, all because this little girl did what she could. A good work is doing what you can. And ladies and gentlemen, until we do what we can, don't expect God to allow us to do more. A good work will always cost. A good work will always be criticized. A good work is defended by Jesus Christ. A good work is done for Jesus Christ. A good work is doing what you can. But number six, a good work must be done when there is opportunity. Look at verse 7. Jesus said, "For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always." Let's put it in another perspective. The window of opportunity for you to give, to make a difference, is open. One day, the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those in the grave will be caught up together with us in the cloud and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the window is going to close. We must give when it matters. Jesus said, "You don't always have me with you." In other words, He's not going to be on earth forever. And Mary couldn't do this later on after He's resurrected and ascends into heaven. That's the setting and understanding. But spiritually speaking, we face the same dilemma. We don't have but so much time. I don't know how long that is. I know that some people think they have inside information on that. You know, Jesus is coming in. You know, He came in 1988. And then He wrote another book, 1989. My Bible says we don't know the hour nor the day. Jesus said that. Only my Father in heaven. You know what? I really believe that God intends for us to anticipate the rapture continually and have our spiritual suitcases packed because I don't believe. I believe human nature would say, well, you know, I've got some time. I think I'll, it looks like he's not coming. I think maybe I'll just kind of spend a month on my yacht. And, you know, one of these days I'm going to get serious. That's just human nature. We wait to the last minute to really do something for God. And I believe God didn't give us an exact time. And the truth of the matter is, a good work must be done when there is opportunity. I must work the works of him while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. That's what Jesus said. Did you know 30 years ago, maybe now it's probably 40 years ago, the average age of a missionary was 44 years old? We're losing ground, folks. We just dropped two missionaries who came home. It's getting so I can't replace them as fast as they come home. And some of them come home for good reasons. One man in Bulgaria, he planted a church and did a good job, and his wife is really sick. I mean, it's just what it is, you know? I mean, there are a lot of reasons. Some people come home because they went over there and didn't know what it was going to cost them, and they weren't willing to pay. Some come home because they really do get sick. Some of them will run out of the country because it's just not conducive to stay there. By the way, Burkina Faso, we got a missionary there, and they're having an uproar there, and I'm concerned about our missionary there. It's unstable. A good work must be done when there is opportunity. But last but not least, a good work is never forgotten. I like that. A good work. Remember, a missionary-minded person, our missionary-minded church, never forgotten. Look what Jesus said about Mary. And by the way, I honor that promise and that prophecy from Jesus tonight by preaching about Mary. Verily. You know, anytime you see the word verily, it means truly. All the verses in the Bible are inspired, but there's some that are just loaded. When you see a verily, if you see a verily, verily, you know it's loaded. And God is saying, listen up, because I'm going to say a whole lot in just a few words. Spurgeon said, inspiration is putting an ocean in a dewdrop. Well, we've got an ocean in a dewdrop when you got verily, verily. All right? Verily I say unto you, wheresoever, that would be Woodbridge, Virginia, this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Jesus said, I'm never going to let them forget what you've done. Now, they're not going to write you up in the paper here in the D.C. area, Woodbridge. But you know, I don't know about you. I don't want all my roses here. I want them in heaven. I would much rather have something to throw back to the feet of Jesus because I was involved in his plan. You know, I want to be involved in something that God's doing. There are a lot of people religiously are involved in something they're doing. Faith is not doing something you want to do. It's getting involved with what God is doing. And so in essence, a good work is never forgotten. Pardon me. What will you be remembered for? What will this church be remembered for? In England, there's a graveyard, London, England, with this engraved on the headstone. Here lies a miser who lived for himself. He cared for nothing but gathering wealth. Where he is now and how he fares, nobody knows and nobody cares. You see, you've got to be willing to break the alabaster box for the right one, for the right reason. These are the characteristics of a good work. Are you doing a good work? This church is doing good work, and you have an opportunity to be a part of it. Let me tell you something, folks. This is a great church. Now, I've preached a lot of conferences, a lot of churches. I've preached in a church about this size, but it wasn't like this church. You're part of something really special. And by the way, I'm so glad you're not right on the doorstep of the Capitol. I'm glad you're at least in the backyard of the Capitol. You know, you want to be far enough away as you can. And you're smart to live here and work in D.C. I'm sure that on Friday it doesn't take you long to get out of there. Hey, I'm just a Southern Chesapeake boy that's... Listen, I pray for your pastor. I'm so glad he's pastoring up here. And I know you are too. Amen. Keep on being a good work. And if you're not doing a good work, get involved. You say, but I can't really do a whole lot. Doing a good work is doing what you can.